He's got the toys. He's got showmanship. And he's got sex appeal. Ladies and gentlemen, from the great Southwest, here's the guru of gadgets, the dapper and dashing Don Bain, the Gadget Professor.
Gadget Professor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Don Bain, and of course, I am the Gadget Professor. We're coming at you totally live and in fabulous color from our Scottsdale, Arizona studio. Welcome, everyone. We're on show number 484. Yes, today we have a fabulous guest. Mr. Warren Andrews is in the background waiting to go on air live. You are familiar with Warren. You may not know it, but that lovely introduction that you see every time for 484-plus shows was created, written, produced, and spoken by none other than Dr. VoiceOver, Mr. Warren Andrews, and he'll join us in a minute. If you would like, you can email me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. That's thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com, and of course, I will answer all the email that is sent. Yes. We continue to get a lot of email about cameras, and I think we'll take a break this week from cameras in general, and we're going to pick up our interview with Warren. But before we do that, a couple things that I think you should probably know. Obviously, you can go to the website, www.thegadgetprofessor.com, and you can watch all the shows there, and you may want to take a peek at some of the last two or three shows that we did on cameras, because it's interesting. Okay. A point of interest, last week I skirted around the Govee Dusk to Dawn LED bulbs offer, and I actually bought four or six of them, and I must tell you, phenomenally fabulous. I love them. In the house here in Scottsdale, my photo sensor is shot, which is outside, way up, and I just didn't feel like climbing up on the ladder and unscrewing it, blah, blah, blah. It's on a switch, on or off, which makes no sense, but I leave the switch on, and now I've put four of these bulbs. I have four outside lights, so I've put four of these bulbs, and boy, do they work well. At dusk, they all come on. At dawn, they all go off. They are extremely bright, so don't worry about the wattage being low. That's a good thing. These LED bulbs don't take up literally any power whatsoever, and they work so well. You get about 1,000 lumens from these bulbs. You can buy the smaller 35 lux ones. The 79 watts is equivalent to 70 watts. 9 watts of power gives you the light, the lumens of a 70 watt bulb. They are extremely bright. They are rated at 30,000 hours, so they're not going to burn out anytime soon. So check this out. I will put the offer back on the web show notes, and I have nothing but praise for Govee and these lights. They also make a lot of other cool things. I did order a magic light from Govee. I should be getting it this week, so maybe we'll take a quick peek at that. But I'll tell you, if you want lights to go on automatically for your property or rental property or whatever, these are definitely economical. $3 a bulb, and they just work so well. We'll see how they hold up over the long run, but I don't expect any problems. All right, moving right along, if you use that wonderful free streaming service, Pluto TV, which I highly recommend, you and 3.2 million other users have been hacked. Yeah. So they got all kinds of things. It was hacked, and they claim that 3.2 million people, they've got their birth dates, if you put that in, your usernames, your passwords. So you may not be in imminent danger, but more than likely you're one of those 3.2 million people that have been compromised. Now, here's the lesson. So what? They have your username and password. Not a big deal if you are only using that username and password on Pluto TV. If you are silly enough to use that username and password for a bunch of things, like your bank account, okay, whatever else you have that's sensitive, your taxes, your investments, if you have any, you're in trouble. So the lesson here is always use a unique username and password, or at least a unique password for signing up for anything, whether it's a streaming site or a magazine site, whatever the case may be. Do not use the same username and password for everything, because you get in a situation like that and all they got to do is start pinging your accounts and they'll find it, believe me. So you may want to change your username and password if you're using it redundantly, in other words, for multiple accounts. If you've only used a unique password, username and password for Pluto TV, pick a different one. It's not that big of a deal. Okay, now here's another great deal, and I'll keep covering some of these great deals probably till right after probably after Christmas. We'll certainly go through Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Christmas time. There's a lot of great deals, especially for TVs. I am on the lookout for a large 65-inch, 70-inch TV, and I saw one for $500, but it was a one-day sale, and I didn't see it till the day it expired. So we'll keep an eye out for that, but here's some great deals. 20% off Wyze smart home security cameras. These I rank as one of the best, one of the most economical cameras that are out there. Good tech support, and here's $20 for an indoor camera, 1080p. They've got pan, tilt, and zooms for $30, and they got a dual pack for $40.57. I'll put this link in the show notes, and you can check that out. So at this point in time, it gives me great pleasure to welcome our interview of the day, and that would be Mr. Warren Andrews. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my great, awesome pleasure to introduce Mr. Warren Schroeger. And Warren, yes, is the gentleman who did our opening, and I'm eternally grateful for that. And this is the first time I've actually met face-to-face with Warren, and he's a pretty interesting guy. So, Warren, welcome. Thank you for coming on to The Gadget Professor.
Oh, I love the show, Gadget. I go back how many years now with
too many.
About 8 years? You had this kind of primitive opening to the show, and your show might have been more low-key and less glossy at the time. And I listened to it and I said, hey, what a great show, but he's got some kid doing his introduction to the program. And it didn't sound right to me, so I offered my services. That's how
that
we started.
Was extremely nice, and I'm eternally grateful for that. I'll let you in on the back end story of that briefly. When I started the Gadget Professor show, actually, I was asked to do that by Todd Cochran. And at that point in my life, my wife unfortunately had terminal lung cancer. So I was under extreme stress. And the Gadget Professor show helped me just keep my mind quasi-technically occupied. So I was in a bad place, and we never knew if the show would catch on or not. At that point, I really didn't care. So we stuck with it, and my wife was glad to get rid of me for an hour or two a week. And here we are 8 years later. Unfortunately, my wife passed away, maybe 6 years now. Actually, just last week, it was 6 years. So everything is good. Life is back to quasi-normal. And again, you gave me a big psychological boost by doing that intro, and I'm keeping it forever. So there you go.
Well, that's great to hear, and you still owe me for that.
Good luck. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with this memory. Okay.
All right, go ahead. Question one.
A couple things. You're such a cool guy. I don't know where to start. But I know that your passion is radio. I also know that I lived in Boston for about 35 years, and WJIB was an awesome, just relaxing, wonderful radio station. Unbeknownst to me, you were very intimately involved with that station.
Absolutely. I started there in 1968.
Oh.
So 52 years ago. I was a young man right out of Emerson College, which is known for its broadcasting and theater,
yes,
theater
sir.
Arts
still is
programs, and it is very much so. And I really didn't have much experience with beautiful music radio, or as we called it then, easy listening, and or both ways. And but I liked it, and I wanted to get involved with it in a small way. And I got a job there as a part-time announcer while I was in college, just on weekends, I guess. I really don't recall what my shift exactly was, but it had to be on weekends, maybe occasionally at nights. And that turned into a 13-year
wow.
episode in my broadcasting career. Went to 1981. And then moved on to other things, but I can still look back now that was the broadcasting highlight of my career, was right out of college. Most people, it takes them a while to get in their groove and
for sure
with an organization that they can stay with, especially in radio. It's very ephemeral. As the winds change, so do radio formats and personnel.
Absolutely. Interesting story.
So we jump ahead 50 years.
Yeah.
And this internet radio, which has been around for quite some time, at least since the turn of the century, but is now blossoming into something significant. I got together in 2017 with, and that was the 50th reunion of that station, of the start of that station. And I got together with 25 or 30 of the former employees, and I asked if anybody was interested in starting a beautiful music radio station based on WJIB, FM 97. And nobody raised their hand.
Yeah, right.
I think I got some smiles. So I asked, well, who would like to help out? And I got no response. So I went home. We had the event in Boston, and went home and thought about it and said, I can do it. And where do I start? You need the music, this music from 60 years ago forward. And I thought that would be a tough hurdle to get past, but as it turned out, it wasn't. And thanks to some collectors who I've since encountered, some early on, so to get things going, who have vast collections of this easy listening music, the stuff that you used to see that in more recent years in the Goodwill bins, in the vinyl section with their tattered covers and scratchy vinyl, that was being wholesale disposed of.
Yes, given away.
So, right, given away, essentially. And I would peruse that avenue as, among other locations, but the internet is your friend these days for anything, for information, good, bad, or otherwise, and for easy listening music. And there are all kinds of dark corners of this virtual world that you can find whatever you're looking for.
For sure.
And I've explored those. I have the assistance of collectors who have not only collected the music, but restored it and made it sound better than the original recordings with today's technology.
So let me interrupt you there. Everything has been converted from analog on records, per se, to a digital format.
Correct. Anything that arrived to me, if I bought an album, and I'll actually show you. Here's an album that I bought on eBay. As you can see it here.
Yep,
Merv Griffin at the piano. Merv Griffin. This album was recorded in 1963. So we're talking 57 years ago. And it looks like nobody ever played it.
Yeah, there's a reason.
And I found it somewhere. And it's like mint. Of course, if this was the Beatles' White Album, yeah, it would be worth something. But
exactly.
No, it's Merv Griffin. And then I would, yes, I would convert this to MP3 and include it in the music rotation.
Now, let me ask you this.
A lot of stuff came from CDs as well.
Sure. What format are you using? How are you getting all this beautiful music onto, let's say, a playlist and then onto the internet? Is there software? Is this done by hand? How do you do that?
Well, I've created a library of now 14,000
wow
tracks of easy
wow
listening, beautiful music. That 14,000.
That's a lot.
I'll give you an example here. 14,000 tracks back in the day when we were playing reel to reel would take 700 of these 10-inch reels.
Jeez.
700 of these 10-inch reels.
And those are audio reels, not video. So,
right. This is quarter-inch tape on here. Each one of these weighs a pound and a half. And so do the math. They're over 1,000 pounds
wow
of tape and reel and okay box to house that library,
right,
which today is housed on a SSD portable hard drive that is the size of a business card.
So you have 17,000 songs on that hard drive.
Right. That's, you know, that's not terribly remarkable these
now,
days as MP3s.
Do you have that backed up, Warren?
I have backup every night.
Good.
And I have kind of like a casual other backup that I do periodically, but it's backed up every night. These SSDs are quite reliable. The original container was a mechanical
right
hard drive. You see, it's slightly bigger. And this was a 2 terabyte. So the entire library of 14,000 tracks comprises about 65 gigabytes. So there's plenty of additional
room
on these.
Yeah,
now, plenty of room.
How do you get
this
sound?
This weighs 2 ounces.
That's the genius of modern technology. Now, how do you get those songs onto the internet so I can listen to them and the people out here can listen to it?
Well, that was also a mystery to me. I didn't know, you know, I knew what beautiful music radio was all about. That was still in my head from dealing with it for 13 plus years. And I knew who the artists were. I knew how it had to come together, but I didn't know anything about internet radio. How do you broadcast? It's not a transmitter and it's not a control board. It's not processing equipment, although it can be, it is part of it. And so I kind of taught myself through YouTube and through asking questions on forums about it, and I fumbled my way through, and sure enough, my phone's ringing.
That's live internet.
Let me shut this off. All right.
This is live, folks.
Where was it? So I figured out, all you need is a computer, and you need the software that has an encoder with it, and connect it preferably via Ethernet, and out it goes. But where does it go to? Well, you've got to get an intermediary, someone who is, or set up your own server, and I was not about to do that and don't have the skills. So I found out there are these intermediaries that will, for a fee, monthly fee, distribute your audio out to the world.
Your content.
And that's essentially how it's done. Now, I go through, in order to pay the music licensing fees, which is a nasty thing to deal with. I go through Live 365, which is one of the major aggregators.
They've been around forever.
And, right. They went down. They got beat up and down and out, but resurrected themselves about 3 years ago. And come back stronger than ever. And they supply or provide the music licensing
suite
handling for you. And it's based on your total listening hours, not per person.
Right.
It's based on hours of listening.
Right.
And there are different tiers. And that headache is not my responsibility. I got to pay for it, but they handle the administration of it. It's something that is necessary because you're using commercially licensed music and providing it for the public to listen to. So I just kind of stumbled into this world. And had to figure it out mostly on my own. Got some technical assistance from others. The program runs, it's right in front of me here on the computer, a used Dell Optiflex, about 7 years old, but suffices wonderfully for just that purpose of running the radio station. That cost $149.
What was it, Dell Optiplex?
There's Dell Optiplex.
Not familiar with
yes.
that.
Yes, a business, it came off of business use, and they get rebuilt. They get a solid-state drive and upgraded memory, and it's good to go for $150 on eBay. The software is also significant, required to run the program. It's an automation software called Station Playlist.
Yes.
And it probably is, I say definitely, was not designed to run beautiful music. It's typically these programs are run to run anything else, hit radio of any kind, country music, hard rock, soft rock, middle rock, you name it, which is a different animal than beautiful music. Why? Because beautiful music doesn't play the hits. It plays covers of the hits and is mood and energy based, not hit based. Of course, they're familiar songs, all of them, but they're not necessarily the original hits. So that's a different animal for computer rotation or radio automation software to handle, and I made it work. And it's a marvelous thing. It's not like doing it by hand, which would be impossible to do,
right,
as it was 50 years ago, but it is, like I said, remarkable for the few $100 it cost.
That's a one-time purchase,
that's
is that
it,
correct,
that's how it
or
works.
Is that a rental?
So, no, I bought it out.
Okay.
One time, and you subscribe to a yearly support and
right.
upgrades.
So tell us, how do people listen to your beautiful music on WGIB?
Well, there's many ways, and it's radio, but not using what we knew long ago as a radio. Your phone is a radio. It's an RF device. You can listen on the phone using, and you've talked about aggregators before that collect thousands of radio stations and then categorize them. And then you can browse through them or browse through categories or search for specific genres you want and specific stations. And there it is, if it's on that aggregator.
Correct.
They're not all don't have identical directories, but they have plenty of overlap. Live 365 is one, Simple Radio is another.
What if I just search for WJIB or JIB? Would I find it?
You would find it on the directories of these aggregators of the half a dozen of them. Not every one of them, because there's a lot of those all over the world that come at you. But the major ones, yes, you would search for. Typically, you would search for JIB on the web.
JIB on the web.
JIB. And if you do that in Simple Radio or online Radio Box or radio.net, you'll find it. However, on TuneIn, probably the biggest directory, it somehow got on there.
And nice.
It wasn't my doing. And somebody put it there. But put it there as WJIB.
It was me.
And I want to shake your hand then, because getting onto TuneIn nowadays is tough.
Yeah.
You have to search via WJIB, and then once you find it, you save it as a favorite.
Now, you also can go right on your website, correct? I can go directly to the website.
Oh, yeah. Oh, on the website, jibontheweb.com. And then there are also, we'll show you other aggregators, mobile apps that you can use to find it. Alexa is also very significant. In fact, I would say 1/3 to almost 50%, well, not quite 50%, maybe 35, 40% of listeners use Amazon Echo.
Right.
And I can tell from, I can see, you know, what devices are being connected by the IP address. And because of they use TuneIn, you have to say, Alexa, play WJIB, not JIB on the web.
Right.
Again, if I could change it, I would, but I
can't.
Not
an easy thing to do.
That's a long story, and I can't mess with it.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's, so there are thousands of internet radio stations that have every shade of music you could think of.
Absolutely.
You don't have to be disappointed when your favorite AM or FM station, AM is pretty much dead in the water, for music at least. It used to be if your favorite music station stopped broadcasting that type, you're out of luck, SOL. Now, if they do, you can find whatever they gave up on the internet.
Right, that genre, absolutely.
Beautiful music certainly was one of those things that disappeared in the 1990s.
Yeah, well, the internet's changed all that. I myself still listen to old-time radio, and quite frankly, the internet's just full of that. When I can't sleep at night, I always enjoy turning on one of those old mysteries or whatever the case may be. And I still enjoy listening to old time radio. It's a lot of fun. The other thing that I'll tell you is I use an internet radio, and it's right beside my bed. And that is still to this day my favorite gadget. They just work nonstop. I can dial in stations all over the world, and push button mark them, if you will, and it's wonderful.
Right. Essentially, that's radio of the future, radio of the now and the future.
Absolutely.
I don't know how AM and FM radio, terrestrial radio, is going to survive this.
It's not.
Look, there's a beautiful music station. There are no commercials, and it's listener supported. And we get along if we can raise over the course of a year $10 a day, $3,000 a year, it pays for itself.
There you go.
That's all it costs.
Well, I encourage all our listeners to take a listen to JIB on the web, and there's no cost to listen. They can make a donation, which would be absolutely appreciated, and support our good friend Warren here, because I'm not paying
them. It's also I might add, what's special, I mean, anyone can collect 14,000 tracks of beautiful music and put them on the radio and just let it run like a jukebox.
Right.
But I've crafted this to be the recreation of the radio station, the way it sounded in its best years in the 1970s.
That's pretty awesome.
Including the original announcers,
wow,
who are now older gentlemen.
That's cool.
And the use of the authentic bell of old Ironsides that was played at the top of every hour. I have the actual bell on recording.
Yeah, of course.
Not in the house.
Yeah.
That I recorded somewhere in the mid-70s.
That's awesome.
The original one they had, I forget how it was done before that, but I re-recorded it. We went out on a Sunday morning onto the USS Constitution in Charlestown.
Still there.
And with our shotgun mic and a Sony 770 portable, it was a heavy portable, reel to reel, we recorded the bell that was played.
That's great.
Up until 1990, and now again on Jib on the Web every hour.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We'll have to do this again. And I encourage all the viewers and listeners on the Watch the Gadget Professor show to definitely check out that beautiful music station, JIB. And thanks to Warren for his passion in doing this. It's a lot of work.
Somebody's got to do it, and there's nobody to pass it on to. And before you go.
Yeah.
I want to apologize for the unglamorous atmosphere, but this is my studio. This thing is my acoustic treatment back here.
I love it. I love
those, those pretty panels are very expensive. I couldn't afford that.
Yeah.
But but an old comforter does the trick.
It adds
and
to
nobody
the charm.
Sees it but me.
Yeah, it adds to the charm of the show. So this was a great introductory to Warren, and we'll definitely have you back on again. And thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's great seeing you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, GP. Adios.
Adios, amigo.
The Gadget Professor is produced by Don Bain,
Multimedia Communications, LLC.
If you would like your product reviewed on The Gadget Professor or would like to appear on The Gadget Professor, contact us via email at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, guests, call-in listeners, or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. And thank you for watching The Gadget Professor.